Will the congregation please rise and may we say the call to worship together. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
Of song and rest, and you shall afflict yourselves and the men as we know to those who are within the pale of the law, so that no one may have anything to say in self-defense, but the whole world may be exposed to the judgment of God. For against the Scripture, no human being can be justified in the sight of God for having kept the law. Law brings only the consciousness of sin. But now, quite independently of law, God's justice has been brought to light. The law and the prophets both bear witness to it. It is God's way of righting wrong, effective through faith in Christ for all who have such faith, all without distinction. For all alike have sinned there and are deprived of divine splendor, and all are justified by God's free grace alone. Though his act of liberation in the person of Christ Jesus, for God designed him to be a means of extirpating sin by his sacrificial death, effective through faith.
On the first day of the seventh month, there shall be a sacred assembly. You shall not do your daily work. It shall be a day of acclamation. You shall sacrifice a whole offering as a singing of to the Lord. One young bird, one full-grown lamb, seven year-old lambs, without blemish. Their proper grain offering shall be flour mixed with oil, 3 tenths for the bull, 2 tenths for the one lamb, and 1 tenth for each of the 7 young lambs. And there shall be one he goat as a sin offering to make expiation for them. This is in addition to the monthly whole offering and regular whole offering, which are proper grain offerings and drink offerings according to custom. It is a food offering of soothing odor to the Lord. On the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a sacred assembly, and you shall mortify yourselves, you shall not do any work. You shall bring a whole offering to the Lord as a soothing odor, 1 young bull, 1 full-grown lamb, and 7 year-old lambs. They shall all be without blemish. God's grain offering shall be a flour mixed with oil, 3 tenths for the bull, 2 tenths for the 1 lamb, and 1 tenth for each of the 7 young lambs. And there shall be 1 he-goat as a sin offering in addition to the expiatory sin offering and the regular holy offering with the proper grain offering and drink offering.
Therefore, now that we have been justified through faith, let us continue at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been allowed to enter the sphere of God's grace, where we now stand. Let us exult in the hope of the divine splendor that is now to be ours. More than this, let us even exult in our present suffering, because we know that suffering trains us to endure, and endurance proves that we have stood the test. This peace is the ground of hope. Such a hope is no mockery, because God's love has flooded our inmost heart through the Holy Spirit he has given us. For at the very time when we were still powerless, then Christ died for the wicked. Even for a just man, one of us would hardly die, though perhaps for a good man, one might actually brave death. But Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that is God's own proof of his love towards us. And so, since we have now been justified by Christ's sacrificial death, we shall all the more certainly be saved through him from final retribution. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled through him, to him through the death of his Son, how much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Now, that is not all. We also exult in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now been granted reconciliation. When Aaron has finished making expiation for the sanctuary, for the tent of presence, and for the altar, he shall bring forward a live goat. He shall lay both his hands on his head and confess over it all the iniquities of the Israelites and their acts of rebellion. That is all their sins. He shall lay them on the head of a goat and send it away into the wilderness in charge of a man who is waiting to live. The goat shall carry all their iniquities upon itself to some barren waste, and the man shall let it go there in the wilderness.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
The love of Christ leaves us no choice When once we have reached the conclusion that one man died for all, and therefore all mankind has died, his purpose in dying for all was that men, while still in life, should cease to live for themselves, and should live for him who for their sake died and was raised to life. With us, therefore, worldly standards have ceased to count in our estimate of any man. Even if once they counted in our understanding of Christ, they do so now no longer. When anyone is united to Christ, there is a new world. The old order has gone, and a new order has already begun. From first to last, this has been the work of God. He has reconciled us men to himself through Christ, and he has enlisted us in the service of reconciliation. What I mean is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer holding men's misdeeds against them, and that he has entrusted us with this message of reconciliation. We come therefore as Christ's ambassadors. It is as if God were appealing to you through us. In Christ's name we implore you, be reconciled to God. Christ was innocent of sin, and yet for our sake God made him one with the sinfulness of men, so that in him we might be made one with the goodness of God himself. Sharing in God's work, we urge this appeal upon you. You have received the grace of God. Do not let it go for nothing. God's own words are, in the hour of my favor, I gave heed to you. On the day of deliverance, I came to your aid. The hour of favor has now come. Now, I say, has the day of deliverance dawned.
This is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. The language of this event is obscure, even in English. Atonement, expiation, propitiation. Even reconciliation is more comfortable to our ears than the other Latin-derived words, and forgiveness has the very sound of relief. Of what are we conscious in a season called the Day of Atonement? The word Kippur and the English atonement may not have near enough a denotation, but in their religious connotations, they must enable it to be an honorable translation. Kippur, to cover, perhaps related to hiding, but look to those passages of the Old Testament where sins are removed, are blotted out, and remembered no more. The result is that God and his people are at one once more. Perhaps you may think it merely cute to derive atonement from at-one-ment, the way some overzealous Christian apologists speak of history as equal to his story, but a visit with the writers of English literature throughout the ages, as revealed in the Oxford English Dictionary, told me that it's real. Our history does include data on our estrangement from God. In ordinary Jewish sacrifice, ritual errors were forgiven, and God's favor sought in efforts of the priest at propitiation. But once a year, the consciousness of individual and corporate sin against God was heightened by the expiation of that sin, and the sin of rebellion, of selfishness, personal sins that hinder mankind's practice of the presence of God, this kind of sin was sent away. And the personal God, Yahweh, and his beloved people were again at one. This beautiful symbolism is caught up again and again in the message of God's new covenant with us. Not for a minute can I entertain honestly the picture of an eternal scorekeeper with a chart of our hits, runs, and errors, of our first downs and our fumbles, our touchdowns and our clipping penalties, all erased by a new kind of referee, a kind of coach, who by his incarnation is both baseball commissioner and first baseman on our team. Such speculations as to the methodology by which we become at one with God are not my message today. I do acknowledge and confess one Lord, Jesus Christ, whose presence permits the enjoyment of the presence of God, not the cold fear of God's presence. I do acknowledge and confess one calling of God, that is, in all variety, yet the encounter of his grace to me has been one, like his words to the disciple, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Because continually I am made conscious of being at one with God, because I confess in Christ God reconciled me to himself, because I know I am yet a sinner and unworthy to see God, and dare not let him see me, because between me and that holy, the Almighty, the Creator, comes the incarnation of his love for me, therefore will I take up the message, therefore can I become his ambassador. I grew up in a Christian home. Although by standards of material success, we were not raised in want, for us, church was the center of our social living. My college years were blessed with the ministry of devoted Baptist Student Union personnel. In seminary, I recognized an opportunity to wrap my mind around what God had given to mankind, and I was content and thoroughly enjoying seminary education. I knew all along I was in God's hands. But my middler seminary year was spent on foreign soil in the student body of the Baptist Seminary in Rishikon. God's two approaches to me focused there on the meaning of the church, an exegesis of Ephesians into my mind, and the experience of ecclesia among the student body into my heart. I am convinced in retrospect that I became irrevocably called in that seminary year of 61-62. Now, 12 years after that year, and 10 years after seminary, I am prepared to tell you to be open to God's small voice in your life. Hear among people who are more like you than they are unlike you. Hear where the very air you breathe seems charged with the spirit of commitment to Christ. You have the experience of at-one-ment with God. Paul said, don't waste this experience. Your time here is precious. Precious means costly, and at-one-ment is costly. We know by whose death we obtained mercy. Practice the presence of God, for in his presence you will be reminded of your task in preparation, of your task for ministry, of your Christian calling to be ambassadors. Sharing God's work, then, we urge this appeal upon you. You have received the grace of God. Do not let it go for nothing. God's own words are, "In the hour of my favor, I gave heed to you. On the day of deliverance, I came to your aid. The hour of favor has now come. Now I say, has the day of deliverance dawned?"